27. Spike was at the Grey Gull tonight. Jesse was meeting Kate O'Hara and arrived early. "Should I even ask about how things are going with our friend in L.A.?" Spike said.
"No," Jesse said.
Spike said, "Hard no?"
"Really hard," Jesse said.
Spike pointed to the corner table in the front room and said, "Do you mind if I give you the table in which you and the person we're not talking about, who's in L.A. right now, used to sit?"
"Knock yourself out."
"Dinner for two often means a date," Spike said.
"This is work," Jesse said.
He saw Spike's eyebrows raise suddenly and saw that Kate was coming through the door.
"All work and no play," Spike said. "I could knock you out," Jesse said.
"Right this way, Chief Stone," Spike said brightly. Kate wasn't as beautiful as Sonny was. No woman Jesse had ever been with was as beautiful as Sonny, not even Jen. Kate had still looked beautiful to Jesse, even when he had gone to the house before dawn that morning. But tonight was different. She was still the Widow O'Hara, and had even worn a simple black dress. No jewelry, except, Jesse noticed, her wedding ring. Very little makeup. But then she'd rarely worn a lot of makeup. He liked her hair short. But he had always liked everything about her. As they took their seats, Jesse remembered other nights at the Gull for the two of them, before Spike owned it, before Sonny. He wasn't sure if it was always this table. Sometimes it was. Maybe Kate didn't feel the old connections he was feeling. She was married to your friend.
"I assume this is business and not pleasure," she said.
"It's still a pleasure to be across the table from you," Jesse said, "even if things have changed between us."
"A lot of things," she said.
It was not a night for small talk, and they both knew it, even though each made a half-hearted attempt. She said that she was planning a memorial service for Neil once they got past the vote. She asked if Jesse had made progress on his investigation of Neil's death. He said some. She asked about Ben Gage's death. He told her that he'd been beaten and then shot. Nobody trying to make it look like a suicide with him.
"The way you think they did with Neil," she said.
He said whoever tried with Neil was just sloppy enough.
"You think that boy's death is related to Neil's?" she said.
"I do," he said. "I think both of them were standing in the way of progress, and now they aren't." He drank some of his iced tea. She had barely touched her white wine. "They knew something that they weren't supposed to know," he said, "or had something they weren't supposed to have."
"But what?"
"Don't know," he said, and then added, "yet." She smiled. He had always thought her smile made her even lovelier, younger even. It was a good damn smile, regardless. "A lot of things have changed," she said, "but you haven't."
"Well," he said, "I haven't had a drink today."
"You weren't so bad when you were drinking," she said.
"Actually," he said, "I was worse."
She took a sip of her wine now. He knew he was as attracted to her right here and right now as he had ever been, drunk or sober. But he had been drunk a lot of the time when they were together. He wished he remembered more about the time when he thought the two of them had it right and might even have had a chance. One more thing lost in the fog of boozing and regrets. They were waiting for their entrees. Kate had ordered the catch of the day. He'd already forgotten what it was. He'd ordered a burger.
"Got a couple of things I hoped you might clear up for me," Jesse said.
"Okay. How come you didn't tell me that Wilson Cromarty stopped by your house the night I found Neil?"
"The Native American man," she said.
"Him." "He'd called and said he was representing Billy Singer and asked if he could come by and ask a few questions," Kate said. "He said he was having some difficulty locating Neil and asked if I might know where he was. I told him that Neil had asked me to have dinner, and that was the last time I'd heard from him, and reminded him that Neil and I had been estranged for some time. Then Mr. Cromarty got a phone call and left."
"That was it?" What more could there possibly be? She said. People still must have assumed I had more influence with Neil than I did.
Like Ed Barone? Jesse said.
What about Ed Barone?
He paid you a visit as well.
She had just put down her wine glass, but picked it back up, as if it were a prop and she needed to do something with her hand.
Where did that come from? She said.
A restless mind? The waiter brought them their food. When he left, she said, he came to pay his respects.
Took him long enough.
Even though Neil is gone, she said, he still has a lot going on.
Don't we all? Jesse said.
Might I ask you how you know he was at the house?
Small town, he said.
Never failed. Sometimes Jesse thought playing the small town card could stop beach erosion.
Were you having me watched, Jesse? She said.
Ed asked me the same question, he said.
Is that an answer?
He smiled, trying to diffuse the sudden tension between them. I'm the chief of police, he said. I get to ask the questions. But the answer is no, Kate. I'm not having you watched.
She stared down at her food, as if she'd forgotten that it was still here.
He's an old friend, she said. We met in Boston 100 or so years ago. I hadn't seen him since then, until he came to Paradise. He seemed hopeful I might be able to help him with the board, because we'd known each other.
I disavowed him of the notion.
Were the two of you ever involved?
God, no.
Had to ask.
Did you, really?
She stared at him until she took her napkin off her lap and placed it next to her plate. I seem to have lost my appetite, she said.
But being interrogated by an old friend will do that to a girl.
Not my intent, Kate, he said.
She started to push back her chair.
I think I'd like to leave now, she said.
I'll walk you to your car, Jesse said.
Not necessary.
I insist.
Who am I to argue with the chief? She said.
Kate went to the ladies' room, came back out, and said goodnight to Spike as they passed him.
Jesse handed Spike his credit card and said he'd be right back.
Spike looked past him at their table and said, you don't eat, you don't pay.
What about the drinks?
On me, Spike said.
There was one last awkward moment when Jesse and Kate stood next to her two-seater BMW, one she'd had since they'd been dating. Even the way he'd blown up the evening, he was suddenly aware of the closeness of her, the scent of her, her whole impressive self.
I'm sorry, he said.
So am I, Kate said.
Then she reached over and put a cool hand to the side of his face and kissed him softly before getting into her car and driving away.
He was a block away from the Gull when he heard a ping from his phone and saw that it was from the motion detector he'd left just inside the front door of Neil O'Hara's house.